Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, March 26th, 2025. We're going to begin our reading today with a couple of crime stories. The first on the front page, charges filed in armed robbery at park. Two Champaign-Urbana men being held at Ford County Jail on charges plus parole violations. A Champaign man and an Urbana man were arrested and charged with armed robbery and felony theft last week for allegedly robbing a person at gunpoint at a Paxton Park. In a news release Thursday, Paxton Police Chief Coy Cornett announced the arrest of Devin L. Starkey, 23, of Champaign, and Stephance J. Moffitt, 22, of Urbana. Both men were being held this week at the Ford County Jail in Paxton. State's attorney Andrew Killian charged both with one count each of armed robbery with a firearm, a Class X felony, and theft of $500 to $10,000, a Class 3 felony, with Moffitt facing an additional charge of driving with a suspended driver's license. Both are also being held for Illinois Department of Corrections parole violations. Moffitt is due in Ford County Circuit Court for a preliminary hearing at 2:45 p.m. Wednesday, March 26th, while Starkey is due in court for a jury trial at 9 a.m. Monday, April 14th, according to court records. With the help of automated license plate reading cameras, authorities were able to identify Starkey and Moffitt as suspects and a gray 2012 Hyundai Sonata as their getaway vehicle in an armed robbery that was reported to police around 5:09 p.m. Saturday, March 15th at Fulton Park on Paxton's southeast side. According to Cornett, the victim said they were conducting an online sale of two pairs of shoes when they were contacted by Starkey, who offered to buy the shoes and then arranged to meet the victim at Fulton Park for the exchange. When they met at the park, Starkey allegedly displayed a pistol, taking the two pairs of shoes that were for sale, plus the victim's shoes, along with $120 in cash, while Moffitt allegedly demanded money from passengers in the victim's vehicle. The robbers then fled southbound on South Vermilion Street in the gray Sonata. The vehicle and two suspects were identified following an investigation by Paxton Police with assistance from police in Watseka, Urbana, and Champaign, and the use of Flock safety license plate reading cameras. Around 6 a.m. Wednesday, March 19th, officers from the Paxton Police Department, Gibson City Police Department, and Ford County Sheriff's Office, assisted by Metro SWAT and Champaign SWAT, executed search warrants in the 1100 block of North Gregory Street in Urbana and the 1700 block of Crescent Drive in Champaign, along with a consent search in the 1000 block of South Mattis Avenue. Ultimately, the two suspects were located, arrested, and transported to the Ford County Sheriff's Office, Cornett said. The gray 2012 Hyundai Sonata was taken as evidence and impounded via Paxton City Ordinance as it was used during the commission of the armed robbery. Then, on page 2, a story about the former Iroquois County Public Health Administrator. Judge expected to issue ruling on motion to bar gambling evidence. Charged with 33 felonies, Deanne Shippert due in court again on May 5th. Kankakee. A Kankakee County judge is expected to issue a decision in early May on whether to bar a jury from hearing evidence of Deanne Shippert's gambling in the former Iroquois County Public Health Department Administrator's upcoming trial. Charged with 33 felonies, including 8 counts of theft of government property by deception, 8 counts of forgery, and 17 counts of official misconduct, the 57-year-old Shippert of Watseka appeared in a Kankakee County courtroom for a pretrial hearing on Tuesday, March 18th, with her Springfield attorneys, Mark Wyckoff Sr. and Daniel Fultz. In December, Her attorneys filed two motions in limine, including one seeking a judge's order to prohibit evidence and testimony at trial relating to her gambling, arguing it is irrelevant. In response to that motion, Assistant Illinois Attorney General Haley Bookout, who was prosecuting the case with Assistant Attorney General Mara Somlo, argued otherwise, noting that it will show that over a 20-month span during the COVID-19 pandemic, Shippard spent at least 759 hours at a Watsika gambling establishment, an average of almost 38 hours a month while claiming to be working. Kankakee County Judge William Dickinson, who was reassigned the case after it was filed in Iroquois County Circuit Court last year due to the recusal of two Iroquois County judges, heard arguments from both sides during the March 18th hearing before taking the matter under advisement, according to online court records. The case was continued to 1:30 p.m. Monday, May 5th for a decision on the motion. Meanwhile, the second motion in limine filed by Shippard's attorneys, which seeks to bar prosecutors from introducing evidence or testimony at trial indicating that Shippard does not support the, quote, LGBTQIA+ agenda, was granted with no objections from the prosecutors, according to court records. Both sides were advised by the judge to obtain leave from court if cross-examination may involve such evidence or testimony. The charges, filed against Shippard last March, allege she stole more than $100,000 from the health department between May 31, 2020 and July 15, 2022 by submitting fraudulent timesheets claiming hours she did not work, including overtime and back pay she never earned. Shippard also allegedly made false presentations to the Board of Health to obtain its approval to receive pay for 179 hours of overtime and fraudulently used grant funds from a grant for COVID-19 contact tracing to pay for her overtime. Additionally, Shippard allegedly committed whistleblower retaliation by firing an employee on June 15, 2022, after the staffer tipped off authorities to her conduct. Prosecutors said they plan to present as evidence time-stamped video recordings from Winnie's Gaming Cafe at 1004 East Walnut Street, plus witness testimony from county employees who said they often would see her vehicle parked there on weekdays during regular business hours. Other evidence includes Shippard's cell phone and office call logs and her remote access login information from her work laptop. People intend to present evidence from both witnesses as well as documentary records showing that during the investigation to demonstrate that the defendant was not only not working her required 40 hours per week, but was also falsifying her overtime hours in order to receive overtime pay, Bookout wrote in her January 24th response seeking the denial of the motion in limine related to Shippard's gambling. Evidence of her hours spent at Winnie's, compiled with other evidence obtained, is both highly relevant and necessary to the people's case in chief. Shippard remains free from custody on pretrial conditions. Turning to page 5, we have fire on South Washington Street in Paxton. Fire engulfs connected homes, but tenants escape unharmed. Estimated 50 firefighters respond to blaze on Saturday afternoon. Paxton. Five connected single-family homes on Paxton's southeast side were damaged Saturday in a fire that displaced the residents living there, but caused no injury, Fire Chief Denny Kingren said. Blaze at 1015 South Washington Street, a property that contains a series of five connected homes, each with an attached garage, was discovered around 2:30 p.m. in the garage of the home second from the east end of the property, Kingren said. The couple living there, as well as their pets and neighbors, were unhurt. People were home and opened the door to the garage, and there was fire in the garage, so they called it in, Kingren said. He said it appears the fire started in the garage, but its cause was yet to be determined. The residents said it started right behind the refrigerator in the garage, so we're suspecting an electrical cause at the moment. But an investigator for the state fire marshal's office is going to come check it out, so it's going to be under investigation. The fire spread quickly due to homes being connected, Kingren said. It's all one big connection, this one 225-foot-long building, and they're all attached. An estimated 50 firefighters from Paxton, Buckley, Loda, Rantoul responded to the blaze, including an estimated 20 from Paxton alone. One of the structures was fully involved, coming through the roof upon the firefighters' arrival, Kingren said. Then we had fire in each one adjacent to it, and the smoke traveled down through the attics. Four of them got significantly damaged, and then the last one has a little bit of smoke damage, so it might be salvaged. One of them was just totally destroyed. Kingren said the fire was mostly extinguished as of 4:30 p.m. as firefighters were starting to clear the scene. We're going to watch over, Kingren said, but we're wrapping up, hauling stuff away. The displaced residents were offered assistance from the American Red Cross. I think they're making arrangements now for places for them to go, Kingren said. Next Monday, April 1st, is Election Day. And deep within the Ford County Chronicle this week, we find election news. From a Gibson City mayor, Mayor Dickey challenged by Sarantakos. Dickey seeking six straight four-year term as mayor, challenged by aldermen, vying for top leadership position for first time. Gibson City. Dan Dickey, seeking his sixth straight four-year term as Gibson City mayor, will be challenged in the April 1st consolidated election by Sarah Sarantakos, an alderman vying for the first time for the top leadership post in the western Ford County city. Following are their responses to a survey each received ahead of the election. Sarah Sarantakos. Her name? Sarah Sarantakos. Age 62. Address, 120 West 11th Street, Gibson City. Family, husband of 39 years, Paul Sarantakos, 61. Sons, Fred Sarantakos, 36, and Jim Sarantakos, 32. Daughter-in-law, Michelle Sarantakos, and granddaughter, Frida Sarantakos. How long have you lived in the area? My family and I have lived in Gibson City for 31 years. My sons went to all years of school in the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School District. They attended college and, through God's blessing, all live right back here in Gibson City. Education, degree in accounting and management, employment. I am currently retired from the GCMS School District, where I was the unit office manager in charge of the unit office, staff, payroll for the Ford County Special Education Cooperative, accounts payable, accounts receivable, daily deposits, all personnel benefits, new hire setup, monthly closing, preparation of school board agendas, serving as school board secretary, working closely with the district superintendent on insurance, budgets, many state-required reports, IMRF, PRF, and annual audits, and handling all school employees' questions concerning benefits, retirements, taxes, or whatever they needed help with. Previously, when I moved to Gibson City, I started to work for the city in May 1995. I worked for the city of Gibson for 12 years. I worked under Mayors Karen Rhodes, Nelda Jordan, Donald Ellenfeld, Brady Peters, and Daniel Dickey. I worked in the administrative office, working closely with the mayor and all the aldermen. I performed payroll taxes, accounts payable, accounts receivable, tax increment financing paperwork, annual state audits, monthly closings, daily deposits, budget preparation, OSHA, IMRF, and agendas for council meetings. Also, I was a deputy city clerk, handling all personnel-related services for employees, and worked with the police department, streets and alleys department, and water and sewer departments whenever they had questions. Then, I worked at Clifton Gunderson, a certified public accounting firm. I was the office administrator for its office in Champaign. I was responsible for four partners and one partner in charge, as well as all staff needs. Duties also included new employee orientation, technology, training, flowing of taxes, budget preparation, billing, accounts receivable, accounts payable, daily deposits, and everything else that needed to be taken care of for the office. Community involvement. I've been a member of Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Gibson City for 31 years. I also volunteer at the food pantry and assist with bell ringing in Gibson City for the Salvation Army at Christmas time. Also, I organize Dinner for One, a group for widows and widowers. They have an opportunity twice a month to get together, eat a meal, talk to others in the same situation. Previous elected or appointed positions of public service. Have served as alderman for Ward 1 for 2 years and previously served as deputy city clerk. Hobbies and interests. Number one is time with my granddaughter Frida. She has the best smile every time I see her. She makes me so happy. I enjoy gardening, reading, watching movies, and walking throughout Gibson City with my wonderful husband and assisting in any way I can at my church, as well as having coffee with friends, even better if chocolate is involved. Why are you seeking election to office? When I worked for the City of Gibson as an administrative assistant for 12 years, I had the intention that I would work for the city until I was ready to retire at 60. I loved my job. It was fast-paced, and I met so many people from Gibson City. When people used to come in and pay their water bills, I also worked well with the mayor, aldermen, city clerks, engineers, attorneys, and auditors. Working with all of the employees was great. We all got along and our jobs done on time. I thought, you know, when I retire, I am going to run for mayor. Why should voters elect you? What qualifies you for this position? Why do you think you would do a good job? I know everything that the position does because I have lived through it and done so much of the work already. I have the experience of being a great mayor for Gibson City. I have a vision to see Gibson City prosper as never before in current and new businesses, housing, in rentals, and single-family housing. We need to get the new pool built and make improvements to our infrastructure, and I know there are many other upgrades and improvements to bring to Gibson City. I need your vote to bring these great projects to fruition. The current mayor has been in office for 20 years to accomplish his agenda. It is now time for a new vision to bring Gibson City into the future. What are your top five priority goals if for office if elected, and how will you try to achieve those goals? My five goals are getting the new pool built. Mayor Dan Dickey turned this project over to me last year. We are much closer to getting this accomplished than before. Second, getting the water treatment plant completely upgraded. Third, getting wells number 5 and 6 up and producing, building the new sewer treatment plant, and bring in new business and keep existing businesses going. Are there any specific issues that you'd like to see addressed if elected, or any improvements you'd like to make? The fact of the matter is, all of these goals and several more have been talked about a lot. They get started with engineering, then little to nothing happens. I will strive to make things happen. I am not afraid to take on the hard situation or projects. It's all about management, time, and finances. I will strive to be as transparent as possible. The citizens of Gibson City have the right to know what is going on with their tax dollars. Don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. Come to the City Council meetings. They are on the second and fourth Mondays of the month at 7 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers. I will hold regular office hours at City Hall. I encourage people to come and talk to me about their concerns or suggestions. Anything to add? One last thing to remember. Vote for Sarah Sarantakos on Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. Next, we have the statement from Mayor Dickey, Daniel Dickey, and we will do our obituaries after Mr. Dickey's section of the paper. So, Daniel Dickey. Name, Daniel E. Dickey. Address, 112 East 12th Street, Gibson City. Age, I'm 68 years young. Family, married to my lovely wife Paula for 40 years with three grown sons, Seth, Nathan, and Jacob, whom all are married. I currently have three grandkids and hope for more. How long have you lived in Ford County? I have lived in Gibson City for 42 years. Education. I attended Lincoln Land Community College for 2 years and focused on classes such as business, law, accounting, business management, and composition. Also took many certification courses involved with industry concerning electronic, safety, and commercial communications. Employment. I am currently mayor of Gibson City. I am a former entrepreneur and the owner, president of CITS Incorporated, a regional commercial communication service company. Also, I am a former first chairman, owner, and founding member of NCC Incorporated, which was a national communication service company with headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. Community involvement. I am currently serving on the board of the Gibson Economic Development Committee and am a Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce member. I received the Chamber's 2019 Citizen of the Year Award with Paula. I was a prior member of the Lions Club, Sangamon Young Republicans, NFIB, and various advisory board. I am also a former Cub Scout Weeblos leader and former assistant to the Ford County Emergency Management Agents Coordinator. Paula and I received a GCMS Honorary Chapter FFA degree. Previous elected or appointed positions of public service. Served as a Gibson City Pool Board member and Gibson City Alderman prior to becoming mayor. Hobbies and interests. Gardening, riding motorcycles, storm chasing as a trained spotter, camping and spending time with Paula, kids, grandkids, and family. Playing pool with my sister and traveling. Why are you seeking election to office? I am running to be re-elected as mayor because I love this community and want to continue to do my part to see Gibson City not only succeed but thrive. It's important to build upon the foundation of previous mayors, city councils, community leaders, and citizens to make things better now and for future generations. I also want to help further enhance our quality of life and well-being as a community. Prior to being elected as alderman and mayor, I developed a passion and deep appreciation for Gibson City, which was the perfect place to raise our family and start a business. We were, and still are, inspired by the friendliness and sincerity of Gibson City residents and how they always offered a helping hand and still do. We are proud to call Gibson City our home. Why should voters elect you? What qualifies you for the position? Why do you think you would do a good job? Working together, we have accomplished much over the years. Under my administration, we implemented a new budget process, literally saving taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars by making our city government more efficient. We also modernized the tools and processes we use to manage and run the city business to increase our productivity. Recently, I took the lead on creating a strategic plan which details where we want to go as a community and provides a path to achieve our goals. 2025 Gibson City Strategic Plan can be found at www.gibsoncity-illinois.com. The strategic plan is based on talking to many citizens and business owners, on research, statistics, and data, as well as consulting and working with economic development professionals. I've learned a lot over the years running my own businesses, and during my tenure as mayor serving our community. It has given me the experience and skill set to work with council members and citizens to help move Gibson City forward in a positive and meaningful way. I have dedicated myself to serving our community for many years, and I will continue to do so as your mayor. I am always available to listen to your ideas and concerns, and have even shared my personal phone number with the public. Another way to keep everyone informed is the newsletter Around Town, which I publish and I edit. Many of my ideas have been implemented to improve the quality of life over the years. Some of the ideas include improving our downtown and the campground at South Park, improving the recreation area at Jordan Industrial Park and public fishing, a dog park and walking trail, and using trap rock on our streets since it looks better, lasts longer, and is dust-free, just to name a few. I promise to always put residents first and to serve you with a passion to continue making things even better in Gibson City. What are your priority goals if elected, and how would you try to help achieve those goals? My top priorities are housing, business retention, expansion, maintaining and improving our infrastructure and drainage, and a new wastewater plant. Other priorities, such as a new swimming pool, tourism, and nuisance ordinance enforcement, can be found in our strategic plan. I believe it is important to share details instead of generalities with our residents and businesses on specific ideas and plans. Some of these plans are already in the works to help move our community forward. Below are more details on goals I will be focused on. According to demographics based on the 2010 and 2020 censuses, we have seen a gradual rate of population growth over the last several decades. One of my first priorities is to increase the rate of growth by working with developers to build new homes. We currently have 7 lots available at Falcon Point, and I am working with the developer at Railside Estates to add an additional 12 lots this year. Also, I'm in contact with yet another developer to hopefully bring new apartments and duplex units to our community, which we need. Currently, I am working on a new home buyers incentive project, which I plan to present to the council to incentivize people to build in our community. I hope to have this plan finalized and adopted by the council sometime in May. Steady population growth is necessary and essential for the well-being of our community and benefits our local businesses with the jobs they provide and our tax base. Growth will also encourage new businesses to locate here, giving all of us more choices and options. Growth will benefit all of us. We have a reputation as being business friendly, and we must keep it that way. Our businesses not only provide jobs and give us more choices, but also enhance our quality of life by their generous support of our community. Supporting our restaurants, retail, manufacturing, and services businesses is paramount to our future. I encourage everyone to buy local, to buy Gibson City whenever possible. Are there any specific issues that you'd like to see addressed if elected, or any improvements you'd like to make? Police Chief Adam Rosendahl, City Attorney Mark Miller, and I rewrote our nuisance ordinance to help with the clarification and compliance of nuisance violations, which have gradually increased in recent years. Our goal is to work with property owners to achieve compliance. In some cases, we have to take the owner to court. This takes time and is a costly endeavor, but one we will not give up on. Enforcement is important for public health and safety, ensuring the quality of neighborhoods and protecting property values. Other issues, such as a new pool, youth retention, and tourism, can be found in our strategic plan. Anything to add? In summary, our city resources are limited, and we need to keep our focus primarily on maintaining and improving our infrastructure, as it is not only the foundation of our economic success, but also helps to further enhance our quality of life and the well-being of our community. There we must end for today. The only thing left is to urge everyone to exercise their civic responsibility and go out and vote on April 1st. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.